If you're not great at value betting, you're never going to be a winning poker player. Today on Tactical Tuesday, John and I are going to break down two hands where I went for some thin value on the river that maybe you might not have found. When you're able to start regularly maximizing value, it's incredible what it'll do to your win rate. So thin value betting day, we're going to start out playing some 10-20 no limit in the streets of Ignition. These are going to be hands that myself, Coach Brad, played, not John. So mixing it up a little bit here for Tactical Tuesday. John, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. It's my turn to tell you that, or it's my turn to be able to say, hey, I think you played like shit today.
Yeah, nice. I'm sure you're eagerly waiting for that. So we start out, I have an ace of clubs and 10 of diamonds. I open to $60 from the cutoff. The small blind, three bets to 13, big blinds, and the big blind folds. So we go ahead and
500 and, okay, smaller.
We go the 24 big blind, four bet with the ace 10 off, and the small blind calls. So not a terrible flop. There's $980 in the pot. The flop is 10-4-3. We have top pair, top kicker. The small blind checks. Anything to do here other than c-bet?
Nope. Definitely just starting out with a c-bet here. Really fortunate to get this beautiful 10 high dry flop after 4-bet bluffing pre-flop. So going to try to take advantage of it. Like your size, quarter pot, definitely going to be by far the most commonly used 4-bet pot c-bet size by me.
Nice. And, you know, our targets are worse 10Xs. I guess, like, ace 5 would potentially be a call.
It would actually, this is something that I was thinking about when I saw the flop, but I don't think that there's worse 10X to target in a 4-bet pot. I would assume that, you know, even king 10 suited is just folding facing the 4-bet. That's not to say that I don't think that there are lots of worse hands to target, though. I think you're right. Like ace five definitely gets in there. I think this size is going to get called by, you know, ace queen of hearts, ace queen of diamonds, like that type of stuff is just not going to fold to the size. But I'm, you know, just for value betting down the line, I'm a little bit wary that there just isn't any much 10x to target.
I would say much pot. Like 9-10 suited, potentially maybe sure, jack 10 suited.
Yeah, maybe jack 10 suited. Yep.
Those would be the two primary ones. Yep. And then, you know, 9s, 8s, 7s that also three bet, as well as like if they three bet some suited connectors, then the suited ace X will also be there. So they call. Turn is the jack of hearts. So demotes our hand to second pair. There's $1,469. Nice in the pot. We have $1,275 behind. Villain has us covered. They check. What do you think about the turn here on the jack of hearts?
Go a lot of different ways. I think you can bet really small again, targeting essentially the same range that we were targeting on the flop. I think you could check back and bluff catch. Again, I think hands like ace queen, ace five, 6-7 suited, maybe even like 6-5 suited if those get into his three bet range. Small blind versus cutoff, like those hands are going to bluff the river. He now has a whole bunch of heart-heart hands that are going to call two. Maybe not a whole bunch, but a handful more like heart-heart hands that are going to call two. I guess now a lot of those hands are actually just going to be combo draws, given the hands that we expect to call the flop. So, I don't know. My two options here would be to bet small again and do a lot of checking on the river, or check back here and bluff catch rivers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if they have king, queen of hearts, and ace, queen of hearts, which they almost certainly do, then they also have like ace-jack of diamonds and ace jack of clubs. So, you know, it's kind of a give and take of like, if the jack could promote some of their backdoor flush draws that they call the flop with. I think like if I did bet the turn, it's probably I'm just bet calling, I imagine, because they do have like king, queen, ace, queen of hearts. I don't, maybe even like 8-9 of hearts or 7-8 of hearts if they, were to
ace five of hearts,
ace deuce of hearts potentially. So Yeah. I opted to check behind. I think mostly planning on bluff catching river as well as potentially value betting versus their mid pocket pairs. River's a five of spades, so probably don't want to face a jam, but not facing a jam. Okay, they don't bet. That's nice. Now we have a decision here on the river. What do you think?
I don't think we're beat very often. If we are beat, most likely those ace jacks that you mentioned. Maybe some jacks. Like sets. Yeah, set of jacks. Maybe even, you know, the one combo, the set of tens that is, you know, now just trapping, hoping that we blast it off, or we, you know, we always just put it on the river with like aces, kings, and queens. But what worse hands call when we bet the river? Pocket nines, pocket eights, pocket sevens. Ace five now has a pair. Yeah. Guess I just bet.
What size?
After saying that.
What size you bet?
I think I would just jam.
Jam?
Yeah. Targeting that range. I think we're going to get a lot of credit for, you know, having hands like ace eight suited, ace king even, like that all of those hands are beating. Yeah, I think I would just jam here, and it would feel thin, but I would hope that there's enough of those bluff catchers that we just listed off that find a call here.
Yeah, I chose to go small. So I went 366 into 1469. My rationale for going small was that if villain has like king, queen of hearts or ace, queen of hearts, then they also have, you know, ace, queen of diamonds, ace, queen of clubs, ace, you know, king, queen of diamonds, king, queen of clubs. So I thought that I could target villain's bluff catchers with a small bet, as well as potentially induce when villain has some kind of unpaired hand that decides to check raise the river. That was kind of the thinking behind the small bet. I thought, like, try to give them a chance to put the money in when they don't have a pair, as well as target their bluff catchers with a more palatable size on the river.
Yeah. Like, one of the nice things about this size is that, like, the bluff catching hands that I was a little concerned about jamming versus, it's hard to imagine them folding versus this size. And maybe they do just fold way, way, way more frequently to a jam, or disproportionately to the point where jamming is just not as not as valuable as this size.
You also don't get stacked by ace jack either, because I don't think ace jack jams.
Yeah. That's a really nice component, is that the times where they do have a jack. Yeah, I assume they just call.
Yeah. Maybe a strong reg could find a check jam with ace jack. But they're not going to find it every single time. So this was the path that I chose. And villain just called the river and showed the ace of hearts, king of spades, which is very nice of them to not jam preflop and let me realize my equities. So got called by an unpaired hand, pretty shockingly, here on the river.
If they have ace king, it's not that shocking to get called by. I mean, I'm shocked because he just even has ace king in the spot like you were. But I definitely think that should make it into part of their bluff catching range, given that, you know, your bluffs here are certainly, they're either chopping with a whole bunch of your bluffs, or they're just outright beating, again, like your ace eight suited, ace nine suited, like those types, ace six suited, like those types of hands. So not surprised to see ace king call, but very, very surprised to see ace king not jam preflop. Holy cow, what was this? These guys, I was out of position, and he's just like, yeah, I'm just gonna do a great job of navigating this spot, and just ends up getting wrecked on the river by ace 10.
Yeah,
man.
Preflop boot camp, it's calling your name, buddy.
Yeah,
actually just jam pre with ace king in pretty much all scenarios, and I think you'll be okay
for the dude, in six max, especially like higher stakes six max, like ace king is like, it's like aces for me. It's just like, oh man, this, I can't believe I have a hand this good. That,
yeah. So second hand we're going to look at is queen of six of spades. So the button opens, the small blind flats, the queen six of spades.
Squeeze?
Is going to make it into my squeezing range. Oh. Yes.
Your squeezing standards don't seem very high, though. So, you know, making it into your squeezing range, not really saying much.
Yes, it's not. It's not. I have very low standards. I have a queen and a six of the same suit. Okay, let's put more money in the pot. So we get the pretty much worst scenario out of all the possible scenarios. The button, who's a red, calls, and the white belt, who's a small blind, folds. So then we get one of the better scenarios where we actually flop top pair, we kicker. The flop is queen three deuce with one spade. So we got top pair. We got all kind of stuff. And now our decision to squeeze is paying dividends, right?
I can make a straight, can make a flush.
I got all like backdoor straight draw, backdoor flush draw, and top pair. I mean,
I probably just have the best hand now. I mean, why am I even talking about?
This is the nuts.
Your hands, yeah.
So starting out on queen deuce tray, I think could make an argument for betting bigger, like half pot. I start out with very small, actually. What is that?
Quarter.
Quarter. Yeah, start out with quarter. I imagine trying to get called by, it's by so all the
I totally understand this desire to start out with quarter. Like, you squeeze a hand that's very, very light, and then you flop like something with your very, very light hand, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna go small here to make you have to make sure that.
Yeah, gotta make sure they call with all their worst.
Yeah.
So I start out with quarter. They call. Turns a seven of clubs. So not super great. Not the worst. Good thing I bet a quarter, because now they can have a lot of worse hands that call. So the flop, the board is now queen three deuce seven with the queen three seven of clubs. I check. There's 41 in the pot. The button checks behind. So probably don't have a flush and probably don't have a set at this point. So feeling pretty good about my queen once the turn checks through. We river two pair. So we forgot to mention the two pair draw that we had on the flop. Unfortunately, the two pair comes on a four flush. So the final board is queen trey deuce 7-6 with the queen 3-7-6 of clubs. There's 41 in the pot. Now what?
Not exactly how I wanted to improve. Almost would have rather not improved than improved in this way. Are there worse hands that we can target here? Is it better to just bluff catch and let him?
Yeah. What do they bluff with?
Yeah. Just like ace jack of spades, ace 10 of spades, like something like that, that had like a backdoor flush draw.
That didn't bet the turn.
Yeah, that didn't bet the turn. Do they call here with... What are some worse hands that call here? What do you think are some worse hands that call here if you bet the river?
Mid-pocket pairs.
Yeah.
Without a club. Which, you know, half of them won't have a club, so...
Do those hands call?
If that's small enough, anything calls.
That's true. This is thin value betting, so...
If you give them the right price, then any hand might call. You know, there's a market.
Yeah, I just hate... I think I just bet here, too, because, golly, I just hate check calling, like, on this river. Might just be better to try to get him to bluff catch himself with... So, I mean, he could actually... What am I saying? He could bluff catch with, like, ace-queen, king-queen, queen-jack, queen-ten, like... Never mind. All right. I'm changing my tune.
And they always value bet a flush, right?
Like, yeah.
They always value bet eights with the eight of clubs or nines with the nine of clubs, right? Yeah. They probably choose a small size. They pretty much always value bet all of those hands. So we lose a bet no matter what when we face a bet from those like one club hands. And and they also just check behind when they have like red eights.
So right? Let's go it's after like, the range that checks behind. And
yeah. So go after the range
with losing a bet to a flush. Yeah.
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 So, again, thin value bet. What size did I go? Looks to be a third on the river, so about 158 and a 481. Villain did call.
Oh, nice. Found one of the mid-pocket pairs.
Villain does have pocket tens with no club. Mercifully, they don't have
Nice. Nice. I think that that sort of logic on the river, like that we just went through, is, I feel like it's such an important part of getting to like higher stakes or being successful at higher stakes, is just finding these thin value bets. Like one of the things I remember you very clearly telling me early on is that like the difference between like higher stakes regs and lower stakes regs, or guys that never make it high stakes, is just not value betting thinly enough. And I think these are like some of the spots that like you can just use your logic to realize like, hey, you lose a bet versus a flush almost always. And so this is like, you know, while it, you know, to someone who's not thinking about this spot super clearly, while it might look super insane, like this is, I think these types of hands really like stick out to me as like the difference between the guys who, you know, are winning and crushing at these stakes and, you know, the people that just never find this bet on a four flush river because it's a four flush and then end up checking and sometimes incorrectly check calling, sometimes incorrectly check folding, and just not realizing that sort of sticking your neck out a little bit and betting the river here is much more, is a much better path than checking and doing whatever happens after you check.
Or they just check and Tins checks behind and they win the pot and they're like, sweet, I won.
Yeah. Oh, like, I played great.
Without ever like investing any more into the spot, right? It's just like, oh, it goes check, check, you win the pot, and you're like, sweet, on to the next hand. Not realizing that there was opportunity there.
Sure.
That there were a better decision was on the table.
Yeah. Nice hands.
Thank you. And
I did not get to tell you, you played like shit today.
I curated the hands in such a way that you probably weren't going to be able to say that. So, good stuff. Thanks for listening. Click the subscription button. And that's all I got for you this week.
See you next week.
Your feedback drives our content. So drop a comment down below and let us know what you'd like to see next.
This is Tactical Tuesday on Chasing Poker Greatness with your hosts, Brad Wilson and John Chai. Coach Brad approved. Are you a lone wolf searching for the ultimate pack? The CPG Wolf Program is a close-knit brotherhood hell-bent on one thing only, chasing poker greatness. Powered by bleeding-edge wolf strats and led by Coach Brad and his lieutenants, CPG Wolves are systematically prepared for almost any spot they'll encounter on the green felt. If you want to plug into an elite team and have a step-by-step game plan to realize your full poker potential, you can apply at cpgwolves.com. Space is limited, and the pack is only as strong as its weakest member. So only the hungriest, grittiest, and most driven will be accepted into the program. Applications are open at cpgwolves.com.